Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Joe, let's go out to the Nemacolin fan hotline and welcome in former Kansas City Chiefs head coach, former Steelers offensive coordinator, one Mr. Todd Haley, and I assume we're getting Todd off his fishing boat, is kind enough to come talk to us for a few minutes. Todd, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good, Ron. Joe, how you guys doing?
Well, we're doing a little better than Matt Canada and the Steelers and Mitch Trubisky, that's for sure. There's a movement going on here to bring you back as offensive coordinator. What do you think about that?
Matt Canada is the offensive coordinator of the Steelers, guys.
What do you think about what their offense has done?
Well, you know, and this may go against a lot of what people think and want to see. I mean, they're used to seeing a dynamic offense, you know, through the years that I was fortunate enough to be there. But, you know, you had a big-time quarterback in Ben. You had some big-time skill guys in Le'Veon and Antonio and Heath Miller, a really good offensive line. You know, I've just been in the, you know, going into this season, and I do a lot of radio on Sirius. You know, I feel like the Steelers have to play a certain way to win games. Now, losing TJ was a big thing, but I didn't have a doubt that, you know, Mike and Flores and Terrell Austin would have a plan, and they did a very good job and held the Patriots to, you know, a point count that should have given the Steelers a chance to win. You know, I felt early they got to play close to the vest, play good defense, don't turn it over on offense. And the turnovers were ultimately the difference in that game last week. Those are the things you can't do. I don't think they're going to be pretty games. I don't think they're going to be high-scoring games. Would I like to see the wide receivers a little more involved? Yes. That's probably the area of concern I have the most of, you know, having coached receivers for a very long time, and they're near and dear to my heart. There's talent there. I just, you know, when I watch things, I don't always, you know, see what I want to see as far as how they're doing it, the precision and different things that go in. And it's a tough job, you know, getting the receivers to do the right thing, and everybody's got to be on the same page. And to me, if there's one thing that stands out, it's just that not being on the same page with the quarterback and the receivers, and that has to get better.
So that's an interesting topic that we talked about yesterday with receivers. But let's get back to this, Todd. Is Trubisky and playing close to the vest and not turning it over? I mean, honestly, why not just bring back Ben then? You and I and Ron talked about Trubisky a while ago. I thought the idea here was to try to get him in here and extract the talent that made him the second overall pick. I can make anybody play like a 40-year-old quarterback. Just bring back Ben.
Well, Ben didn't like to be under center. They are under center, but I agree with you. I mean, Trubisky, one of his big positives, you know, and he hasn't proven himself to be that, you know, to warrant where he was drafted yet. And I'm not saying he can't. I mean, he's a talented young guy, but he does have very good athletic ability, and that's the other piece that's kind of missing to me is, yeah, he's made some play. He made some critical plays in game one at critical times with his legs, but, you know, just involving him a little more in the run game, letting him, you know, adding, you know, the RPOs, whatever it is, but, you know, where he has a chance to pull the ball and run – a little more, I think, would be another big positive. But, you know, they won the first game, a huge game against the Bengals that nobody thought they could win. They did it with turnovers. Obviously, you know, people are going to, you know, be barking at the offense because they haven't scored very many points. But, you know, and then the second game, if they don't turn it over, they have a very good chance to win that game. But I just don't think it's going to be real flashy early on here. And you know, my worry is just what happened in that. You know, I was saying, I said on week one, they're happy they're on the road week one, because we know how Steeler fans are and how passionate they are. And if you're at home and things and the offense struggles at all, you know, there's going to be all that noise you got to hear. And as hard as you try to block it out, it's really impossible. So I'm sure they're happy they're on the road again, and they got to go and play a certain brand of football. And they're not the only team that has to play this way. New England has to play this way. They got to play really good defense. Don't, you know, make less mistakes than the other offense makes, and try to win close games. You know, it's just where they are until they can figure out a way to get these receivers going a little bit. You know, I heard Mitch throw a little shade, you know, with the, well, call routes that guys are going downfield. I mean, there's a guy going down the field on every play, and it's up to the quarterback to make that decision of whether he wants to let it rip or not. But again, you don't know the inner workings and what's being talked about with, you know, and Mike Tomlin's a very smart guy. He and I had unbelievable conversations through the years of what we had to do to win. And that's still going on, I guarantee you. And again, it's not what people want to hear, but I feel like the Steelers, they got to make less mistakes on offense, continue to play really good defense, stay in games, and then win in the end.
Our guest is former Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley. And Todd, you know, the one thing that Trubisky said yesterday that caught us by surprise a little bit is he said they still have to figure out when he's allowed to audible on plays. And he said, I don't even know which plays I'm allowed to audible on. Is that unusual for a guy who's in his sixth year in the league?
Yeah, I didn't hear that. But yeah, I mean, you, those aren't things you want to hear. You know, there's so many, there's alert opposites where you're running right and then you change the play to the left. There's pass to run. There's run to pass. You know, everybody has these things in their offense. So to hear that, yeah, is a little troubling. But again, not being there, not knowing exactly what's going on, you know, I have a hard time commenting. But not something you want to hear.
I'll read the exact quote. To quote: "We're still figuring out when is a good time for me to audible, and if within each play I have the option to do so." I mean, he's not a rookie, man. You know, 6 years, you would think he would be able to. It strikes me as being a pretty smart guy, you know?
Yeah, no, he is. He is. You know, you go to North Carolina. I mean, Ron, you or I couldn't have gone to North Carolina. you go to North Carolina, you know, you're a smart guy. I wouldn't have come out of there alive. You know, to me, that's a little more, you know, the transition from college when you're a longtime college coach and now you come to the NFL, the complexity and all those things. I mean, I don't know how to take that quote exactly, but, you know, you need to have a plan. And those aren't things you want to do all the time. You know, you don't want to just, you know, freewheel it every single play. You got to have a clear-cut plan of when you want to run the football, how that sets up the play action. There's obvious passing downs. You know, sometimes you're throwing it quick, but there is always a built-in fade or something outside where you can take a shot if you get the right coverage. You know, the audible in the NFL is very, very critical. I mean, we saw it in the game the other night with Tennessee and Buffalo. I mean, when Tennessee was unable to threaten the Bills with the passing game, I mean, they had too many guys in the box. There's times you got to make a decision, you know, and have plays that include that ability to change the play and hurt them where they're weakest, because if you have everybody in the box, you know, then you're going to have guys in one-on-ones, you know. But the problem with the Titans is, you know, who are their weapons right now? I mean, they're missing key guys that really can win in some of those situations. But I don't see the Steelers as that type of team. I mean, I really like this receiver group. It's just a matter of figuring out a way to get them going, you know, and get them involved in the game. And a lot of that falls on the receivers, from what I've seen, and then also on the coaches of just, you know, we got to have a design plan to make sure we're attacking at times down the field.
Todd Haley on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. All right, let's get to the bottom of this, because this is the second time you've mentioned this. Which receivers are we talking about here, and what's going on? It sounds like you're laying a lot of the blame for this on the receivers, and you're backed up, actually. I don't know what you think of Pro Football Focus, but they do have some real NFL people watching tape, and they say the Steelers' receivers aren't getting open like maybe they claim they are. So what's happening there, and who's at fault?
Well, I'm not blaming either or coaches or players, but it has to get better. And as I said, I mean, that was an area that was very important to me. It's kind of how I found my way as a coach, you know, having successful receiver groups. And there's a lot of complexity that goes into, you know, whether it's the concept or the actual individual running the route. And is it zone? Is it man? To me, it's just a little sloppy right now, and it's something that has to clean up, because if a quarterback doesn't have confidence that a guy's going to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, you know, then the quarterback's going to take the blame. And I just, you know, again, I'm not here to pound on Mitch Trubisky, because I think the guy has a lot of promise, but he needs some help. He's not going to be a guy that goes out there and carries the team, you know. And even if you're a really good quarterback, you need guys to be where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. Are they saving space outside as a, you know, when you're running go routes and comebacks and things like that? I mean, there's finer details that have to happen. And right now it's just, you know, the best I can say, it's just a little sloppy, and it needs to be cleaned up. And I'm sure they're working hard at doing that.
Todd, you talked about the noise at home. You know, we heard the Kenny Pickett chants in the third quarter on Sunday. How hard is that for Trubisky? He had to know that could happen when the Steelers made Pickett the number one pick. I don't know if he's looking over his shoulder, but it can't be easy, I wouldn't think.
No, but, you know, he's been through some trials and tribulations. But, you know, I coached in Chicago for 3 years. That's no you know, box of chocolates, you know, with that passionate fan group. So, you know, he's been through it. I thought he made a great decision going to Buffalo, even though he knew he probably wouldn't play a bunch, and just be in a really good system and learn and continue to grow, much like we saw Jameis Winston try to do going to New Orleans. So, you know, he's a mentally tough guy. I don't think he's going to crack. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that comes with the territory. You know, the bottom line is figure out ways to win games. Even though it wasn't pretty week one, you know, when you win in Pittsburgh, people are happy. Yeah, they might nitpick a little bit, but just figure out ways to win games. You know, they're going against the Browns defense that can really bring it up front. But at the same time, they've had some real breakdowns in the back end, which has continued to happen for the last couple of years. You know, you got to, like we saw in the Miami game, you know, those were complete breakdowns by the Ravens, but the Dolphins will take them, and they sure look good when they're playing them on ESPN.
Todd, you had engineered one of the most amazing quarterback tales in a while here. One of them anyway, and it wasn't that long ago. 2010, Matt Cassel came to you. You were the head coach in Kansas City. He had 30 starts under his belt. I don't see that as so much different than inheriting Mitch Trubisky. And you got a season where he had 27 touchdowns and 6 picks. So I'm wondering if you can talk about what your philosophy was when you're getting a guy who nobody would say is a Hall of Fame talent, but it seemed like you let him play. Did you let him call his own plays from the beginning, or at least change plays, I mean, at the line and things like that, give him some freedom?
Well, yeah, I'm very proud of that year because, again, and no disrespect to Matt, but, you know, to win in this league without an elite quarterback takes a lot of work, and we really did. I mean, and we had the Ravens on the ropes in the playoffs, who were a very, very good team, obviously. You know, we had Jamal Charles. We had Thomas Jones. We had a pretty good defense, and we just, you know, from a passing standpoint, yes, there were always, you know, when do you go fast? You know, we kind of started that way back then of hurry up plays to get the ball to Dwayne Bowe. I mean, Dwayne Bowe scored, I don't know, I think 15 touchdowns. That's hard to do as a receiver in this league. But we made every, you know, you just like when I was in Pittsburgh, who are our best players? Who do we want the ball in their hands? And when I was there, it was Le'Veon, it was A.B., obviously. And so every play that you design, you try to put them first. It doesn't mean they're going to get the ball every time because coverage is going to dictate that. But, you know, you try to figure out ways to get the guy, get the ball in the guy's hands that are your best players that can make plays. Yes, we had audibles. But, again, I think that's part of the NFL. You know, you have to have the ability to change plays, and it comes off a lot of different looks. You know, where's the down safety? Are they in two high? Are they in one high? But again, it's not something. You know, I had this conversation on the radio. They're like, why did the Bengals we go in empty, and why didn't we check to a run? You know, and it's the first play of the game. You know, players want to settle in and play, so it's not something you want to be doing early because mistakes happen, guys go the wrong way, you know, they miss the call. You know, there's a lot of those factors that go into it that, again, I can't speak on. I don't know all those guys up front. I don't know the receivers. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. You have to have a comfort level to put that in your quarterback's hands, and, you know, I think it all depends on the situation.
Todd, I don't know if you know it, Ben is in the broadcast business a little bit. He has his own podcast out there now. It's really fascinating stuff. Merrill Hodge was on with him, I guess, this week, and Merrill was very critical of the Steelers' running game, the concepts, and Najee. What do you see when you look at Najee? Does he look the same to you? And why? And it's going on like 4 or 5 years now. The Steelers have not been able to run the ball. What do you see when you look at that aspect of the game?
Well, I think first you had a huge transition of really good players that are no longer there. And anytime you go through that, we saw it with the Steeler defense when I was there as an offensive coach. I mean, I was coaching against Troy and Kiesel and Hampton, that whole group, and now all of a sudden they're disappearing one by one. I mean, the defense isn't going to look the same. Same with the offense. You know, Mike Munchak leaving, you know, he's one of the best in the business. I think that, you know, when you lose a guy that is, and again, this is no disrespect to guys there, but, I mean, you're talking about Hall of Fame type coaches and Mike Munchak, who just, he could put it all together and was a godsend for a coordinator and myself to be able to work with him and have ideas, and he's like, he figures out ways to make things work. But, you know, you're in a transition period. The line has to gel. It has to come together. You know, Najee's beat up a little bit. I don't know how much that affected it. I really like the guy. You know, I just think it's putting it all together, and it's not panic time for Steeler Nation because you do, as a team, you get better. You either get better every week or you get worse. And they're a team that there's a lot to like on the defensive side of the ball. The offense has to start to gel and evolve and grow, and it's going to take everybody to get it done.
I got a procedural question for you, Todd, and that is if a team was to make – like the Ravens, they made a change at offensive coordinator and whenever they won the Super Bowl, 12, whenever that was – and they promoted Jim Caldwell late in the season, they go on to win it. If a team is going to make a change at coordinator in season, do they have to promote from within because it would be ridiculous to try and bring in somebody from the outside because of terminology and all that? That's part one. And part two is Mike Tomlin. Would he be fully capable if he wanted to make a change here of simply calling the offense?
I mean, he does so much work on defense that I, you know, as amazing as he is, and he amazed me week in and week out with just everything he put together to talk to the team and all those things. You know, I don't, that would never happen. I just think it's going to be a coordinated effort of between him and the offensive coaches. And he would sit and watch tape with us every single practice, every single game. He'd do the same with the defense. It's just conversation, communication. He's really, really smart. He's not going to have bad ideas. And, you know, and if you're an offensive coach, you're listening, you're paying attention, just like I did. You know, when he said things to me that were, you know, impactful things that I could tell he was telling me something that he wanted me to somehow get incorporated into the offense. And these guys are all smart coaches. That's going on. And that's why, you know, I don't think it's hit the panic button. It's just keep working together. Keep, you know, because it is a consolidated effort of offense, defense, special teams. You need it all. I mean, the muff punt was a killer. Those things can't happen. I mean, they kill an opportunity to win a game that they were right in. I mean, and all those things factor in. So it's very easy to point at one side of the ball or the other. But, you know, in these games, it comes down to 5-7 plays, 3-7 plays that really end up determining the outcome. And no one plays a bigger role than the other. But, you know, there are those plays that if you can eliminate, you're in it. And I'll go back to what I said. I just think, this is my opinion, the Steelers are going to be in tight, low-scoring ball games and just have to be smarter and out-coach, you know, situationally in those situations and not have the plays that kill you, which they had last week, you know, two of them that just were killers and changed the game.
Todd, how do you look at this matchup Thursday with Cleveland? You know it's going to be an angry crowd up there after what happened. You know, there, some people are saying it could be one of the worst losses in Browns history. How do you like the matchup there, offense against defense, both ways?
It was shocking, both those games, the Dolphin game, I mean, the Arizona game, the Jets game. I mean, just shocking football. I mean, but must-see TV, it was awesome for me. I mean, doing radio shows, it's great stuff to talk about. But, you know, I like the Browns. I think they got a very good roster. The defense is really good, especially up front. You know, they've had too many breakdowns in the back end. You know, those things have continued to plague them. When you have control of a game and all of a sudden you give up those easy throwing catches for 70, 80 yards, whatever they are, I mean, just backbreakers. But they can bring it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, they got to handle those guys up front. They obviously have a really, really good run game. I like the fit of Jacoby Brissett as long as they play the way they have to play, which is, you know, in a little different way, very similar to the Steelers. Play really good defense. Run the heck out of the football. Don't make mistakes. Jacoby Brissett is not that type of guy. I mean, he's not careless with the football. They got a good kicking game. So I see this as a hard-fought game, you know, between two teams that are playing a similar brand of football. And like I said, as a Steelers fan, hopefully the Browns have a couple breakdowns in the back end and they get a couple easy pitch and catches for big plays.
My last question, Todd, is this. If you were a head coach again in the National Football League and you got to choose one quarterback in the league right now to move ahead with, build your franchise with.
Josh Allen,
okay.
Loved him coming out. He makes more wow plays than and Mahomes. I mean, obviously you'd never say no to Patrick Mahomes, but this Josh Allen right now, the way at the level he's playing at and his size and ability to take off and run and toughness, he's kind of somebody else said this to me, so I'm stealing it, but he's kind of Ben Roethlisberger on steroids.
Todd, how we saw them play the other night. It looks like they're playing a different game than the Steelers and Browns. How can you win? I mean, you're not going to get five turnovers and seven sacks every day. How can you keep up with the Joneses when you talk about guys like Josh Allen and Mahomes?
It's difficult when you, like I said, when you talk about, you know, I winning 10 games in Kansas City it was week in and week out. We had to do everything right. Your margin of error is much smaller. When you're dealing with those two quarterbacks, I mean, they're just, I mean, Josh Allen's decision-making, his field awareness, and his ability and just some of those throws. Like I said, I when I was grading him coming out of college, even though, you know, he's in a program that, you know, wouldn't get anybody excited. I mean, nobody else on that team is playing and at any level of professional football, but he made wow plays and he's refined his game. And the quickness of decisions, like I said, the field vision, all those things. I mean, your margin of error is going to be very small when you play those guys. And you have to, in those type of games, you know, you have to be better at them than running the football. And you have to create some turnovers. You have to steal some possessions. I mean, I've dealt with that. I mean, playing Peyton Manning or Kurt Warner or whoever it was, you know, there's games like that where you say, hey, we can't go toe-to-toe. So how can we win this game? And, and that's coaching. And I think, you know, again, why I'm so proud of 2010 is, you know, we coached the heck out of that group and found ways to win.
Todd, I can't tell you how much we appreciate the time. We'll let you get back on the boat. How are they biting?
The bite's picking up.
what's a fish you were catching that you teased me about before? What's the big fish down there?
A muskie.
Nah, it was something schnook or
walleye, large. Oh no, that was the snook, the Ron snook. That's Florida. I'm up in Western New York at the lake right now. I got a muskie guide from Pittsburgh with a Steeler tattoo that takes me out to get the giant muskie.
There. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were still down in Florida catching the Ron schnooks. We appreciate the time, man. Good luck to you. We'll do this again real soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right.
See you, Todd. What a good place to be, Western New York.
That was wonderful. He's really good.
I had suspected yesterday that these receivers might be getting away with something, Ron, letting everybody believe that they're the ones who are open.
90% of the time open.
That they're not the problem, and I'm not saying they are by any means.
No, but they got to be part of the problem.
Well, if
they're... It's all together. I mean, I'm not saying they deserve more than Canada and the quarterback. But I'm sure they're not as open as maybe they want you to believe.
At least I suspect that, yeah. But
and
the question
he kind of confirmed
becomes,
that.
In
sloppy
his opinion,
was the word he
in
used.
His opinion.
Sloppy.
And Pro Football Focus opinion. And again, they have NFL guys looking at every pattern. They say the receivers aren't doing a great job of getting open. Now, there's more to that. Somebody ran a graphic of Deontay Johnson every route he's run this year, every route. Did you see that?
I saw it, yeah.
Was there one route down the middle the whole year?
There was maybe one. There was one.
I mean, it's incredible.
But he didn't even do that much with Ben, though, did he? He did more of the crossing stuff, the underneath stuff.
Well, no, because they only have a second to throw. But a talent like that, I'd like to get him down in the middle of the field a little bit or down the field.
And take your shots with him.
But it is interesting.
Now, didn't he get high ratings from Pro Football Focus?
He did. He was the one who did. So I tend to think, and I tend to at least wonder about Claypool and Pickens. I'm led to wonder if those guys are doing what they're supposed to do route-wise and getting open. They're winning battles. Everybody's got an opinion on this. Alan Faneca is among them. Is it a quarterback problem or is it a scheme problem? Alan Faneca weighs in on that, or he already did with Good Morning Football. Tell you what he said next. You can follow us on Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Todd Haley was on the Nemecolon fan hotline around every corner. Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Rod Woodson ahead on the show as well. But first, another Steelers legend dissecting what's wrong with this offense. That would be Alan Faneca. We move from Todd Haley's opinion on the offense, and he absolutely agrees, it sounded to me anyway, Ron, that Trubisky needs to be given more freedom at the line of scrimmage to change into what he sees fit.
Yeah, he said audibles are such a big part of the game today.
Yeah.
I think they've always been a big part of the game.
He also, however, agrees with Pro Football Focus that the receivers bear some of this responsibility. He called them sloppy.
I used the word more than once, I think two or three times. What I'm seeing is sloppy, and talked about how you have to be in the right place at the right time. That's why Ben loved Juju so much. Antonio was never in the right place at the right time, but they could adjust, he and Ben, and Antonio would make the play. But Heath was always in the right place. You always heard Ben talk about Juju. I'm just wondering if these guys are where they're supposed to be for Trubisky after listening to what he had to say.
It's a fair question, but I also think, Ron, like Ben and Antonio, you learn if you have great talent.
You adjust.
You adjust and you let them make plays. You put the ball in spots where they can make plays, even if it's not perfect. Plus, you let them ad-lib a little bit. Ben and Antonio ad-libbed like crazy. That's
beautiful
what you do.
Music together.
So why can't Trubisky and some of his guys do that a little bit? Why not?
Well, maybe there's no Antonio in that group, but
he's got some wildly talented players, though.
He does. But you got to take some chances.
You don't have to be Antonio,
right?
To have a guy say, "I'm going to let you make plays."
You got to take some chances with them.
And now Alan Faneca weighs in.
Yeah, I'm eager to hear this.
And he was talking on Good Morning America. Well, I guess the question back to Haley is, do you change your mind then on where you think the blame lies here? Like who's first on the blame list?
Well, I'm still going to go with the coordinator. After listening to Merrill, you know, on Ben's podcast, was just very critical. Even the running game, and said that Pitt has more pro concepts than the Steelers do. I'm still putting it on him, and I'm still putting more on Trubisky and the offensive line. But it's opened my eyes a little bit that maybe I should consider the wide receivers too.
Yeah, I don't know if the running back is absolved of blame either this matter.
Exactly. Now, I just don't know how healthy he is, but he's out there. So you got to judge him by what he does.
I mean, when I see him tossing guys aside and leaping over people in a single bound, I start to lose the idea that he's not healthy. And if he's not, then he shouldn't be out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that he's not healthy. When you can do stuff like that, I don't know, man. I think it's hard to win with an inaccurate quarterback, no matter what system you're running. And there were too many series, the first and last and second, that ended with bad throws. Bad throws. No matter what scheme you got to have a guy who can make plays, or at least give him the freedom to fail once in a while and keep trying to make plays.
Right.
It's like a standing at the golf ball compared to the range. I got one shot here. One shot. I can't just take another if I miss this.
Well, I hope Trubisky's better in football than you are in golf.
Well, he isn't so far. So
what did Faneca have to say?
No, you know what I mean by that, though.
I know exactly what
he's got. Two shots to make plays here, and if he doesn't make them, then
you got to let him.
He's playing in a straitjacket. He's playing scared.
But that's why I blame the coordinator and coach more than anybody.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What did Faneca say? I'm dying to hear this.
He was on Good Morning Football, and he said, I look at this and see it's more of an offensive problem than a quarterback problem right now. I think they need to find out who they are more than they need to find out who's directing the offense. That's what he said, Ron.
Mason Cole, exact same thing. We need to find an identity. We don't know what we are right now.
He said they need to expand the field. When you play on a short field, bend but don't break. Get them in the red zone and things get harder to do. But if you're playing that way on the whole field, you're not doing yourself any justice. It's making the game harder for yourself. I think that's their biggest problem right now. So it sounds like he wants them to take some chances instead of inchworming their way downfield.
I like that, inchworming. That's very visual, graphic.
So I think they need to figure that out, and then we can start worrying about whether it's time for Kenny Pickett or not. That's his take, Ron.
Yeah. Everybody's got an opinion. They're like noses, right?
And they're like pork rinds in some way. Do you like pork rinds, Falsey?
You seem to bring up pork rinds a lot. Do you like
Actually,
pork rinds?
I haven't brought that up in a long time.
How about Cornish hens?
So I wanted to point out that you're wrong about
well,
that.
Well, I don't think I'm wrong, actually.
When's the last time I brought up corn?
Probably late last
pork
week.
Pork rinds. No, on the air?
Not on the air.
No.
But off the air.
Sure. I'm curious about it. And you still haven't answered the question.
What makes you so curious about pork rinds?
I think they're one of the great phenomenons of the 20th century. 21st, actually.
Explain.
Why do people eat them? Why do they buy them? Same with jerky. I've talked about this a lot. I can't even imagine having the mentality, Ron, of pulling over on a road trip and saying, I got to get me some beef jerky. Who does that?
I'm sure that there's a lot of it sold. I'm assuming people do.
Do you?
I don't like beef jerky.
You tried it?
Probably a long time ago.
How about turkey jerky?
I don't like any kind of jerks.
I like the Jack Link's beef jerky.
Do you?
Yeah.
As a little snack?
I don't know if I would. It's a little expensive, actually, the Jack Link stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would actually go.
Supply chain problem.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go and buy a bag necessarily, but if somebody's like, hey, you want a piece of jerky? Yeah, absolutely.
How about a hard-boiled egg, Ron? You liable to
cook
up one of those once
in a while? Oh, I don't
like
those at all.
No?
No. Deviled eggs? No. I don't put eggs in, like, a lot of people put them in salads.
Egg salad? How about a nice egg salad?
I never eat egg salad.
Really?
Don't like eggs like that. I'll eat them cooked.
Yeah.
You know, I eat them over easy, but not hard boiled or deviled or anything like that. No.
Nader, in your family, is your wife liable to cook up a little hard boiled egg once in a while?
No, not really. Mm. I mean, it's pretty much, yeah, over easy or scrambled or nothing.
One of the worst purchases I ever made. I got fooled. I like hard boiled eggs.
Dippy
a little
eggs.
Salt, little pepper. Ron, they said that this little contraption would boil an egg with no water. It's like a little bit of steam, maybe water under it or something. I don't know what it was. And I spent money on it, and it didn't work, and I broke it.
You were ticked.
Yeah, threw it against the wall. You ever been fooled by an infomercial?
No, I don't follow. I don't watch. I watch so little television.
Do you?
And very little television, and I tune out the infomercials.
You ever tasted?
I say Joe Namath, though. Joe Namath selling Medicare stuff for...
Still?
Oh, he's still on there.
He's
all
incredible.
The time, all the time.
You ever tasted horse milk?
No.
Ballsy?
Can't say that I have.
Why not?
Why would
Why
I?
Why not is the question.
Why is the question.
Can you milk a horse? Ron?
Call up Joe Kopp and ask him. I don't know.
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? You remember that line? Anybody here? Ron, did you see Meet the Fockers? Did you see that movie?
Yes.
Off and on, I've seen pieces of it, not all.
Oh, you'd enjoy that. I think I know now your sense of humor.
Where was I? Cincinnati or somewhere was on, and I was on in the hotel room, when he's on the roof trying to catch the cat, and then he lit.
Yes, it's great. I know your sense of humor by now, five years later.
I've seen
You'd
bits
love
and
this
pieces.
Movie.
I've never seen the whole movie.
How about a movie night, Falsey? Little hard-boiled eggs, little pork rinds, and we can all watch Meet the Fockers.
With some horse milk.
Yes. Should we have a movie night for show bonding at some point?
I'm down for it.
Ron?
How about, like, Slapshot, which I've never seen?
That's almost sacrilege.
Or Caddyshack, right I've never seen.
I've never seen the full movie either.
Me either. Not the full
now,
movie.
Shawshank Redemption, I've seen 100 times.
Let's plan some bonding sessions. And let's get into top of the hour. Falsey has a Wheel of Football coming up at the top of the hour. We can take a trip around the league.
Thank you for that.
Coming up next, Ron, there's another football story a-brewing right in the AFC North that I think people will be mighty interested in. You mentioned it earlier today, some internal sniping going on with a team that the Steelers may be playing within a matter of hours. First, you have a message for the people, don't you? Do you not? I thought you did. Folsy? Says right here, Twins Live. Am I wrong about that?
That's Pompeiani. Yeah. It's on there by mistake.
It is on there by mistake.
I sabotaged the show.
He's sabotaging the show again, Ron.
I was going to say something. I saw it. Why is Pomp down there? It looked like this might have been a... You know what this was? A cut-and-paste mistake. We've seen that happen before.
There's a little bit of Ron Burgundy action here, too.
No, but this was a cut-and-paste.
It was.
Like the Steelers with the quarterbacks.
I'm the type, though, who just reads off this thing like a teleprompter, and if Folsy...
Well, that's Ron, that's Ron Jeremy slash Burgundy.
I'd read anything off of this if Folsy did that. So you know that about me, Folsy.
Yeah, now that you just admitted that, I could have some other plans.
Trouble a-brewing in Cleveland. We'll talk about that next. Ron, you turned me on to this headline earlier, and I'll read it. This is from Dog Pound Daily. I'm sure you're a subscriber. Browns reach height of dysfunction with players-only meeting. It's their defense against the Steelers' offense. You talk about a battle of the dysfunctional units. This is going to be incredible.
That was a defensive meeting, the defensive players only meeting to talk about, communicative errors and miscommunication. I love this was in Pro Football Talk. Somebody was supposed to cover Corey Davis on a 66-yard touchdown reception, but no one covered him. I guess not. He was wide open. And it just quotes Greg Newsom II, who is a Northwestern man, I might point out. Before the full defensive meeting, we had a players meeting and just talked about things. I think the best part about it is honesty. People were mad about stuff. There are some teams who are used to that. We're not used to that. We see all the talent we have in the room. So things like that, it should hurt us, and we should be mad about it.
So it's a battle of two just beleaguered units here. The Browns defense, I mentioned it, I think, yesterday. Their safeties played one of the worst games I've ever seen in that Duck game a few years ago. And apparently, even with John Johnson on board, I don't know
who's
if he's
a really
been healthy.
Supposedly a good player.
They haven't solved this. They just let Joe Flacco go down the field twice in the last minute 22. Their win percentage was 99.9 when they were up.
That doesn't leave much room for the other team, does it?
It was truly one of the biggest late-game meltdowns in the history of the league. Is what it was. 13 points with 122 left, and they blew it. Incredible. So they're vulnerable, plus they're banged up, Ron. I mean, this is like the Browns JV team.
Yeah, he said yesterday he didn't know if Myles Garrett was going to play. Kevin Stefanski, I still have to believe he's going to play, but maybe if he can't play physically, he can't.
Who, Garrett?
Yeah.
I mean, if he had a neck problem and he couldn't practice, I'd say he's questionable at best.
Oh, there's no doubt at best. I'm just guessing that he'll play. Betonio's a really good guard. He said he may not play either.
Not to mention they're already on their second-string quarterback.
And Clowney is out.
Brissett.
I just remind you that back in 2020, they had a bunch of dudes on that offensive line that nobody had heard about.
Baker introduced himself to Donato. Hey, I'm Baker. What's your name?
Well, they had one dude that nobody had ever heard about.
There were multiple people missing on that offensive line that night.
And the head coach didn't play that night. He didn't play. Wasn't on the sideline that night either.
But there was one guy, yes, that nobody knew about.
What it was? A guy named Frank? I forget what it was.
I don't know. It was a very run-of-the-mill name.
But something's got to give here. And you know what? I'm not going to be that impressed with a Steelers win. I mean, you beat somebody's JV team. They better win is what I would say. Take themselves seriously.
If they go out and score 31 points, though, you might look at things a little differently.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, any divisional win is good. I'll say that.
Especially
much.
On the road, AFC North road action.
Sure, but you're going up.
They
against...
could end up being 2-0 on the road here if they win.
Yeah,
in the division.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett and a bunch of backups along the front on defense. You really should win the game. I'm sorry, you should. They have one major injury, and it's a big one. But other than that, they should be ready to go in there.
There's nobody on the injury list this week. Mm-hmm. None. Bush practiced yesterday, full to go. So the Steelers, other than TJ, which is a big other than, they're totally healthy.
I'll tell you what, this flavored cream for the coffee that we have, Ron, is absolutely incrinculant.
Is that French vanilla?
Yeah. I mean, it really adds a shot of flavor.
What are you drinking now?
What?
What did you put it in?
Coffee.
What?
I relapsed weeks ago. You didn't know
that?
No,
you didn't relapse weeks ago. I just asked you about it like the other day.
I lied. That's part of the relapse.
You're back on coffee?
Yes.
Are you back to like 20 cups a day?
Rule number one of Fight Club, don't talk about Fight Club. Rule number one of addiction, lie about your addiction, Ron.
I ask you specifically the other day.
This is a breach of our trust.
Yes, that should have been your first clue.
Are you back on coffee? And you go, no. And I go, how long now? And you go, oh, it's been months.
Yeah,
that was our exact conversation.
Yeah, right.
And you were lying.
Yeah.
You've been back on it for months.
I have.
This guy.
Maddie, what do you make of this?
I'm ashamed.
Can we trust you at all with anything?
It feels like an intervention. Go
ahead.
Tell me what you think. How's it affecting?
How do you lie like that?
I'm sorry.
Just flat out lie.
Right to our faces.
The people I care about. I don't know. I just did, and I'm sorry.
Is
there anything else you want to intervene here?
So are you still,
tell me.
Are you still stopping every morning to get Ethiopian coffee and Venezuelan coffee and wherever else, Uranus coffee?
Interesting. My brain is telling me to lie to you again. Yes, I am, Ron.
Oh, my. And to think I've been telling people about your
zero
to 100 mile an hour behavior, and it's been a lie. It's been a lie, what I've been telling people.
I'm a little disappointed. Are
you hurt?
I'm a little hurt,
I'm a little hurt, yeah.
How did I hurt you guys?
Because
explain
I specifically ask you. Our relationship has to be built on trust.
Yeah.
And I ask you, and you flat out lied to me.
Right.
How can you build up trust?
This is a work marriage, Jim.
When you lie.
You know what? I appreciate this. This is good for me.
I was always raised that no matter what you did, it's worse if you lie about it.
Mm.
Come clean
yeah,
is better than if you lie about it. Joe, you broke my heart with this. And then you let it slip by, oh, this stuff you put in your coffee is really good.
He slipped up. That he admitted his own.
Yeah. That was a cry for help, the French vanilla cream. Folsey, are you ashamed of me?
Ashamed, no.
Hurt.
Disappointed.
Troubled.
Yes.
Troubled and hurt.
Yeah.
Troubled and hurt.
Yeah. I'd never be ashamed of you, Joe.
Oh, I can come up with a few days.
You mind if I finish
been?
This cup before I quit?
I mean, can I even believe you if you say you quit?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I can't.
I've lost all trust, Ron.
Yep. It's going to take a while to repair this.
Very hurtful. Very hurtful.
Folsey has a wheel of football coming up. He's been working on this for days, perhaps
months. I lied.
And then, that's right, maybe you lied. See, this is how it harms relationships, Ron. It poisons them. From the inside.
It's
now
worse.
I can never believe you, and you can never believe
no
me.
No matter what
I
you
did
do,
this.
It's worse to lie about it.
I know.
I'll never forget that message.
The great Rod Woodson. I'm not lying about that. He's going to join us.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.